This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
For the Galatians and for us today, obeying God was and is a matter of believing the gospel. Obeying God was and is a matter of us believing the gospel.
Calling all men, September 9th and 10th, join men from all over the world for Mentality Men's Conference. You don't want to miss this free conference. Register now. Text MENTALITY to 51555 or scan the QR code on your screen. See you September 9th and 10th with Creflo Dollar. Visit CrefloDollarMinistries.org and grab your free seat. Register now.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Ooh, it's time we live a new life. Ooh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
How does obedience work in the New Testament? How does obedience work in the New Testament? I ask that question because there's just so much you're going to see about obedience and what it is in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so tonight, let's start in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 13. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verses 1 through 14. And just the first 5 minutes, I want you to just hear. You know, there's sometimes I'm so hungry to teach you and for you to be taught, because I found out, and you'll find out in this series, that's really how you renew your mind. Okay? Let's begin here. We're going to read verse 1 through 13. He says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." He says, "And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee." Here's the condition: if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. "Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall thou be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee on holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God," that's the condition, "and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasures, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the works of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, condition if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them." Now, Deuteronomy 28, verses 113, 1 through 13, we just read, this refers to the rewards and the blessings of perfect obedience to the law. Perfect, if thou keep all my commandments. So this is perfect obedience to the law. Remember, James says if you violated just one area, you're guilty of the whole thing. And so the blessings and the rewards that comes from perfect obedience to the law. However, since no one except Jesus has ever obeyed the law perfectly, you do understand that, nobody but Jesus has obeyed the law perfectly. Nobody but Jesus, your mom and them, my mom and them, ain't nobody but Jesus obeyed the law perfectly. You see, we all are disqualified from these blessings based on our performance. Based on our performance, we all are disqualified from these blessings. But the good news is, listen, these blessings are a part of our inheritance because we've been given the gift of the perfect obedience of Jesus. In other words, because of the perfect obedience of Jesus, we get none of the curse, but all of the blessing. Not because we had to perform to get it, but through we have been given the gift of the perfect obedience of Jesus. So we are not blessed because we obeyed perfectly. We are blessed because Jesus obeyed perfectly. Oh, did y'all hear that? I'm not blessed because I obeyed perfectly, which I couldn't do anyway, but I'm blessed because Jesus obeyed perfectly. So one of the questions that many people have when confronted with the gospel of grace is how does obedience fit into this new covenant, this new testament, this new covenant of grace? Well, let's begin with this, and it was important for me to show you that because, you know, a lot of those blessings we've heard of, I'm the head, not the tail, but not because of your performance. You could not perfectly perform. And so the great thing was Jesus, you know, his job was to keep all of the law and to keep every bit of it, every jot and tittle. And we have been blessed with the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ. And so we have been gifted through Jesus all of those blessings and rewards because of his perfect obedience. So let's begin to deal with this. What does it mean to obey in the New Testament? Let's start off. And let's look at the New King James Version. It does take a couple of words and really gives the exact translation for it. So let's study that. New King James Version, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 18 through 19. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 18 through 19. I think I'm learning as I teach grace just to teach it before I start comparing your religion with it. I think it'll come once you just, if I just teach it right, then you'll say, I can cause a big fight, man, because I can go mess with your religion and then compare this. Well, we don't understand. You understand, you just don't want to, okay? All right, so let's look at this. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 18 through 19 in the New King James. He says, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter in his rest, but to those who did not obey? Those who did not obey would not enter into his rest. Verse 19 says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. All right, let's examine this just for a moment because he said the same thing, but he used two different terms. In verse 18, he says, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter in his rest? All right, the people that could not enter into his rest, he said, were those who did not obey. Well, he says the same thing in verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in, how? Because of unbelief. In verse 18, he uses the phrase, he talks about disobedience. They didn't go in because they disobeyed. He calls their disobedience in verse 19 unbelief. You didn't enter into the rest because you disobeyed. Those who didn't enter in was because of unbelief. In this New Testament, unbelief is equivalent to disobedience. Disobedience and unbelief are what we see in the New Testament. So Israel did not enter into that rest from their enemies because of disobedience. What was their disobedience? Unbelief. Unbelief was their disobedience. Do you see that here? If you got that, say amen, and I'll go on. I'm looking at your faces and the computer's going off in your head. And what I'm trying to get people to do is, instead of you just listening to me, read it. It's there. It's right there in the Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. Now, so we need to note that God equates unbelief with disobedience. Okay? That was not so in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it was, you know, you didn't believe because of, it was disobedience because you didn't do something. You disobeyed because you didn't do something. But here, he makes it plain in the New Testament, your disobedience is unbelief. For Israel not trusting God's promise and ability, when you didn't trust God's promise and when you didn't trust God's ability, that was disobedience. Because of unbelief or disobedience, Israel did not enter the promised land and the corresponding rest from their enemies that God had promised. So if Israel's unbelief was called disobedience, then belief on the part, on their part, would then be known as obedience. Is everybody following there? And that's a pretty safe assumption there, that if we see that disobedience was known as unbelief, then obedience would be known as belief. So in the same context, God went on to say that his rest is still available. Now, that was rest for them to come out from amongst their enemies. But then God says something in fact, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4 and 3. Hebrews chapter 4 and 3. God says something here. He says, this rest is still available. Okay, they didn't get it, but this rest is still available. Hebrews chapter 4 and 3 says, for we who have believed do enter that rest. We who have believed do enter that rest. And so it's available for you who do believe. You who do believe can enter into that rest. Remember, that's going to be equivalent to you who obey. Your obedience in the New Testament is belief. Those who believe / obey can still enter into that rest. In fact, we're exhorted, if you'll go down to verse 11 there, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, we're exhorted to be diligent to enter that rest. Look what he says in Hebrews 4 and 11, to be diligent to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. He says, let us labor. I like the phrase in the New King James Version. He says, be diligent. Let us be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So if we're going to be diligent to enter that rest, we're going to be diligent to believe / obey. We're going to be diligent to believe / obey. If you understand that, say amen. So basically, if I ask you, how do you enter into the rest? Belief. How do you hinder yourself from entering into the rest? Okay. All right, let's use another word. How do you enter into the rest? Obey. And how do you obey? What's obedience in the New Testament? Belief. What's disobedience in the New Testament? Unbelief. So in light of God equating belief with obedience, our actions, listen to me carefully, our actions are not the first place where obedience must occur. See, in the Old Testament, our actions were the first place where obedience had to occur. If your actions were obedient, that we could tell if you were obedient, first of all, based on your actions. But in this New Testament, in light of belief and obedience being equated as the same, our actions are not the first place where obedience must occur. Well, see, everybody's like, you got to obey God. They're saying your actions is the first place where obedience or disobedience occurs. But now what happens here is obedience begins in the same place where everything in our relationship with God begins. In the New Testament, our obedience begins with believing the gospel. In the New Testament, our obedience begins with believing the gospel. So I want you to consider the Galatians. The whole reason why Paul wrote the book of Galatians, that letter was sent because there were fake Christians trying to talk people out of their freedom that they found in grace. And so he wrote the entire book, and he starts off, I think it's in chapter 2, who has bewitched you and caused you to turn away from your freedom that you found in Christ. All right, so consider Galatians when Paul, and go to Galatians chapter 5 and 7. When Paul wrote to address the drastic problems that were there, they had received the gospel. The Galatians, the church in Galatia had received the gospel. They had received the freedom of Christ. And in Galatians chapter 5, the first part of it, he stated that they were running well. They were doing well. He says, you ran well. You were running well. Who bewitched you? You were believing right. You were running well. But something happened. They had come under the influence of religion. They had been bewitched into mixing Jesus or grace with human performance or legalism. And what did Paul have to say about that? If you read the rest of this, he says, you ran well, or you run well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Or what? Who hindered you from what? Believing the truth. Something happened. Somebody's been saying something to you. You were running well. You were believing well. Who has bewitched you? Who hindered you in believing the truth? Obeying the truth was not, first of all, located in their actions. It was in their belief. If the Galatians were not obeying, they must have been disobeying. And what they were disobeying was the truth of the gospel. So Paul did not write to them about any commandments they were violating or any traditions they were not keeping. He wrote to them about standing in the liberty by which Christ has made you free. Let me show you that. Galatians chapter 5 and 1. Standing, he's talking about standing in the liberty or the freedom by which Christ has made you free. Look at this, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with that yoke of bondage. You know that yoke of bondage, that old way of believing, that law. Don't be entangled again with the law. Stay in the liberty. He says, obey by believing. Obey by believing. So, for the Galatians and for us today, obeying God was and is a matter of believing the gospel. Obeying God was and is a matter of us believing the gospel. So you see how you got to rightly discern that now, because if I go to talking to you about you're not obeying God, I'm not talking about based on something you're doing or not, you're not doing. I'm basing on what you're not believing. I can say to a person who comes up to me and they say, well, you know, I'm having problems believing, you know, what Jesus said about my righteousness. And I'll say to them, you're in disobedience. They're thinking, well, what have I done? I'm not talking about what you've done. I'm talking about how you're believing. You're not believing. Does everybody see that now? All right, now go with me to Romans chapter 6. This is going to be pretty amazing here. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Let's look at this in the New King James Version as well. Now, verse 16 says this, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? Now, you see something getting ready to happen here, right? Slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Now, let's do some deep study here now. I don't feel the need of telling you, well, the Greek word for this is this, and then shakatundum, and I ain't got that. I'll just tell you what it means in Greek, okay? It ain't like you right. I may be impressive to the guy who's speaking, but I'm not doing that, okay? And there's nothing wrong with that, okay? But I want you to stay hooked up what we're talking about. So this word obey, right here, verse 16, in the Greek, it means to listen. It means to hearken. It means to listen. So when he says here, do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to listen to or to hearken to, that word hearken means to pay attention to or to heed what is being said. So literally what Paul is saying is you are slaves to whomever you pay attention to. You are slaves to whomever you listen to. You are slaves to whoever you take heed to what they are saying. You are a slave if you listen to, pay attention to, or take heed to what they're saying. So Paul is not talking about performance and obeying the law here, but it's talking about the message that we are listening to. He's talking here about what we believe. Are we listening to the one whose sin was unto death, Adam, or to the one whose obedience is unto righteousness, Jesus? In other words, do you believe that you are still in Adam's sin as a sinner, or do you believe you are in Christ's righteousness as a saint? That's what he's saying. And the whole time we've been going around trying to figure out, what have I done? He's like, no, you are going to be a slave to who you believe. Do you believe? You're going to believe what you're hearing. You're going to believe what you're paying attention to. You're going to give a heed to what you're hearing, what you're paying attention to. So if I continue to preach this this sin unto death that came from Adam, and you start believing that, okay, versus me preaching obedience unto righteousness, which came from Jesus, and you believing that, do you believe that you are still in Adam's sin as a sinner? He says, well, if you hear that, that's what you're going to start believing. And he's going to call that believing. He's going to say you're obeying that form of doctrine that you're listening to. Or do you believe you are in Christ's righteousness as a saint? He says, what you believe is going to be determined by what you are hearing, hearkening to, and taking heed to, because your belief system is going to be based on what you hear the most. That makes sense? Let me show you this little scripture in the NLT, guys. Romans 5, 18 and 19. Romans 5, 18 and 19, just to let you know it's here. Romans 5, 18 and 19. I feel an awesome responsibility to lay stuff, get it recorded. Because once it's recorded and it's on all these platforms, then I believe, I was praying, God, how do I make a sermon perpetual? So you're not the only one to just hear it and it ends after we give the benediction tonight. But I'm believing that after the night is over with, this sermon's gonna travel around the world. And you know it's happening. It travels around the world. And I don't have to get sad like, oh, I wish the chapel was packed tonight. But even if it's packed tonight, it's still with not enough people. Even if the dome is packed 4 times, it's still not enough other people. I want to get this gospel around this world so people can hear it. All right? Look at what he says in NLT. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Verse 19. Because one person disobeyed, or what? Did not believe. Because one person disobeyed and did not believe God, he said, what happened for that one person? I cannot wait to show you this. Calm down. I was so blown away in my study time yesterday. Do I have time to go over this? Probably not, but the Bible says he'll teach us how not to be ungodly. You know what ungodliness is? It's when you do something and don't see a need to get God to bless it. Or it's when you do something and don't involve him in it.
Are you focused on doing works so that God sees you as obedient? In the Six Message series, Is Your Belief System Offline? Creflo Dollar teaches that obedience is not measured by performance. It's simply believing and having faith in Jesus Christ.
Everything we have and everything we get now as New Testament Christians, we get it because of what Jesus did. The Old Testament was all about you working for God. The New Testament is all about God working for you. Obedience in the New Testament is called belief. Disobedience is called unbelief. Jesus has delivered you from your sin, and the Holy Ghost is changing your behavior.
Order this life-changing CD series today for a love gift of just $35 US or more. This series is also available in DVD format for a love gift of $45 US or more. Visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org and click eStore, scan the QR code, or call the number on your screen to order today. No matter where you are on your personal journey, the Word of God can reach you. Tune in to World Changers every Sunday at 10 a.m. or restream at 2 p.m., 6 p.m., and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Have you ever had God save somebody in your family and they were no good for nothing dirty, but He saved them anyway, sanctified them, filled them with the Holy Ghost?
Text WATCH NOW to 51555 or visit worldchangers.org for more information about services and stream times.
I open my heart, I open my mind, I open myself up to God possibilities, to God happenings, God encounters, whatever He wants to do, however He wants to do it, but I refuse to live in the past.
We're in this together. No matter where we are world changers. See you online.
The Bible teaches us to give generously with a cheerful heart, not out of necessity, but out of a cheerful heart. And that's why I'm so grateful for the friends and partners of this ministry who freely and cheerfully give financial offerings to support us. You understand our vision. You know that when people understand grace, they're empowered to change their lives for the better. Thank you for supporting us with your financial donations. And every time you give, you're being used by God to stop misfortune in someone else's life. And for that, we say thank you. God bless you.
If you want to honor the Lord by sowing financial seeds into Creflo Dollar Ministries, call the number on your screen or log on to CreflowDollarMinistries.org.
Join us online as we bring you praise and worship from the World Changers Church family and the Word of God from Pastors Creflo Dollar and Taffy Dollar. For more information, visit us at CreflowDollarMinistries.org.
Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.
The preceding program was brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.